You are now tuned in to Black Compass Media, connoisseurs of battle rap and hip-hop culture, featuring the strongest team in media, Driz.
Like, I give it a 7.5. Just off, like, that battle alone, would, like, I would go pay to go watch that battle.
Polo.
Yo, I guess I forgot everybody in battle rap. Super Thug.
Posey.
Potato the Foreign. Two Biscuits. Man, I take another route. If it's smoke over wind and it's over him, and I take another route. Two Gun.
And Tony Bro.
Stop with the questions here. You're not about to angle me into that corner.
Providing the latest in commentary and entertainment.
Goodsy lost through that 6 losses.
He beat Good.
No, he did not
debatable.
Beat Good. No,
debatable.
He did not beat Good.
That's a debatable.
That's debatable.
Like you never heard before.
See, my name's Sirius Jones, see? I squirt the chrome, see? Your name Tay Rock, see?
Like a brother happy to pay his child support.
He just ruined Mad Bags just now. Like,
bro, Jack don't even know how to fight.
Y'all niggas don't even book on URL. And he got 30.
Black Compass Society in the field.
Yo, 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 what's going on out there, man? Everybody, Black Compass, Black Compass Radio, man. You know what I'm saying? We out here for another one right before 4th of July. You know what I'm saying? Probably one of the guys I want to talk to for a lot of different reasons, man. Straight out of the West Coast, man. Western Conference shit. I would say one of the guys leading the pack right now. We got B-Dot. B-Dot, what's going on, bro?
Hey, what's up, Tony, bro? I'm just chilling, man. How you doing?
Man, I'm all right, man. I'm anxious. I'm anxious heading into this weekend. You know what I'm saying? This weekend is significant for me in a lot of ways. You know what I'm saying? How you been, bro?
I've been chilling, man. Same routine. You know, music grind, preparing for battle grind, you know, taking care of the family. Same shit, man. Same shit.
So music grind and battle grind, right? Because you an artist that actively, you know what I'm saying, you actively work on your craft. You doing both simultaneously right now.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Always. Got to, man. You got to.
But because some rappers make it seem like it's, you know what I'm saying? You got to be ambidextrous for that. Like, how do you get in both bags at the same time and still be good?
Well, you definitely got to shut one down. You feel me? Luckily for me, my album is like, I think last time we spoke, I had told you I restarted on my album because of the little indie deal that I got into and shit. Interestingly enough, I'm trying to get out of the indie deal and I'm trying to wrap up my album. So I'm pretty much like 90% done. So I just put it on pause for a second. Like as soon as I knew I had the battle, I just put it on pause and just made sure I got into battle mode. I ain't really been in the studio. I've been in the studio a little bit, just touching up on shit, but not really, you know, creative mode because it's a whole different, you know, thinking process creatively. So Nah, man, I just, you know, for me personally, I got to shut one down to do the other one effectively, as far as just being on a genius level with it or a master level or to my highest optimal level, I have to shut one down to be able to be the greatest at the other. So I shut down the music shit for a minute, you know, just to focus on this battle. And then when the battle's over, I'll get right back to it. It's pretty much what it's been for like the past couple of years, you know?
Right. And I think for a lot of us, we get that mixed up that you guys actually work on these different projects and shit like that. Now, I want to get into this because I feel like this battle is very significant. But just your reaction on the whole initiation card. I mean, I know what Smacknum trying to do. This is a West Coast, East Coast card to me, in my eyes.
Low key.
I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah, low key.
But I
low key.
I want to get your perspective on this, though. Like, how you feel about the card overall and battling again on the West?
Yeah, I mean, the card is fire, first and foremost, man. A lot of credit has to go to KG. I think KG pretty much facilitates all of the West Coast shit, the traffic, the initiation. Of course, you know, the URL staff gets the credit for it, you know, because those are the names and the faces that we all know on that level. But really, it's KG's hard work, KG's phone calls and his negotiations that – his negotiation skills that he do to really make these battles really come to fruition. So big shout out to KG the Poet for making this shit crack. And as far as me being back on the platform and me battling, period, in general, you know, I'm excited as always. And y'all know me, I take battles that I feel have a purpose. So I'm always excited to have something to say. I'm always excited to do what I feel like I'm called to do in life in general. And that's use my artistry to speak truth to power. So I'm just excited and honored and privileged for another opportunity to do so.
Right. And it's dope, too, because I think after the last time that we seen you, you know what I mean, in the ring, last couple times, I mean, I feel like you're actually getting better. And that's scary because it's already pretty good. You know what I'm saying? So is it the thing where you go back and you look at the Verb battle, see what you were doing? I'm be honest, Emerson Kennedy put blood in your mouth. You know what I'm saying?
Of course he did. Of course he did. Well, you know, it's with me, man. What I want to break, the narrative that I want to break through conversation with the media, such as yourself and other platforms that I'm on interviewing.
Yeah,
there's always been this false narrative about me, and I guess it came from the Danny Myers battle because nobody's seen me operate at that level prior to that. And so since that battle was just so amazing on both sides, and since I shocked the world so much with my performance, I think everybody just put me up on this pedestal, and then these false narratives get created where I'm supposed to just, you know, wipe the floor with every opponent because I'm just so great. You know, sometimes guys have special moments. I felt like I had a special moment with Danny Myers. And then after that, all these false narratives started to be created within the culture, where people are kind of diminishing other dudes' talent and skill set. Mm-hmm. Like, they, you know, like I was supposed to, after that battle, I was supposed to watch Cortez. I'm like, why? That's Cortez. I mean,
right.
He's been in the game for a minute. He's a vet. Then after that, I was supposed to watch Verb because he has some bad performances. And then, you know, and then when you fast forward it to the EK joint, it's like, yo, EK is one of the better battle rappers, period. Like, if he was given the platform and the opportunity, he would be, I mean, I don't see him having any type of clear losses to any of the top dogs. Like, I feel like he would put blood in a lot of dudes' mouths.
No,
you know what I'm saying? So I feel like that personally, just because I respect thought process. You feel me? Mm. I respect strategy, and I respect conversation, and that's what he brings. You know what I'm saying? And I think that there's a lack in, like, believability. He's not really a street dude. And so maybe he loses points there. But in terms of, like, his approach and how he writes, I think that he can hang with a lot of dudes. You know what I'm saying? With majority of dudes in the game, period. And I just think that I gave him the platform to showcase that. Right. You know what I'm saying? And once again, a false narrative was created. Like, oh, who is EK? Like, I had people actually hit me up, you know, after the battle. Like, yo, I never even heard a dude. And I'm like, yo, that's – so think about that whole perception. Like, that's crazy. Like, y'all know me. I'm B-Dot. I've been in the culture for a couple of years now. And some dudes really don't know who EK is at all. Like, that's wild.
Right.
So that's an automatic advantage for him. Like, could you imagine me, as good as I am right now, could you imagine me if I just stepped on the scene and, like, niggas was really like, I never heard of B-Dot? Like, that would be the extreme advantage because I would literally be able to showcase my talent to the world for the first time. That'd be the first time you see me operating at such a level. So chill out, Malcolm. Be fine. my son be wilding. But yeah, though, fam, I just feel like there's false narratives created about me going into matches. And then when my opponent does well, because in every situation, my opponents know that they have to step it up to the plate and they have to have substance. They have to bring a conversation. You feel me? And when they perform at a high level, somehow my skill set gets diminished or gets disregarded just because my opponent stepped it up. You know what I'm saying? So it's weird.
But you've earned that, though. You've earned that type of respect. And I would say in a short amount of battles. So that's the thing. It's like if you're gonna battle at the frequency that you battle, they have to all be impactful. Yeah. You've managed to make all your battles important. So now, you know what happens in the fan's head. And I say that I don't say that insultingly because I'm a fan myself. And I feel the same way. I'm like, we ain't seen him in a while. We know the next one going to be powerful. But it seems like you always have to lower expectations for it. Let's get to these false narratives that have been knocked down over the last, like, year and a half or so. Because I had a couple, B-Dot. You already know. I was holding that Lux, Lux clone talk. That was me early on.
No. And listen, man, I get it. And I don't even, you know, I'm not mad about any of the critique that I face. I just think that I'm done with the hype. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't overhype me no more. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been here enough. You feel me? I got my PG out the way. We did that. I've been battling for last couple years. I don't want the hype. Like, don't overhype me. Just go, you know, just let me go into my battles and do what I got to do. And if y'all appreciate the skill set and the hard work and the dedication I put in and what I craft, then show me the love after the battle. But, you know, I don't need the hype before the bout. Oh, B-Dot about to kill him. He about to do this. He about to do that. It's just like, it's just unwarranted. And quite honestly, I personally don't feel like I didn't earn that yet.
You know what I'm saying? You don't feel like you've earned that yet. Because the narrative is that you one of the guys that have this, it's partially the fans, it's partially the work that you put in, but there's this idea that you get to skip the line. Like, you wanted to skip the line, guys. You know what I'm saying? I did this whole poll about who had the best skip the line performance between you, Twerk, Loso, you know what I'm saying? Like, people who just came in and just...
You had to do a poll about that?
I did, because I'm like, these are guys to the culture, they don't feel like y'all did regular PGs or anything like that on URL. They feel like y'all kind of skipped the line. But you don't seem to have that sense of entitlement, though.
Yeah, in terms of me skipping the line, I never felt like I should skip the line because of skill set. That was never my argument. And I never was pushing the line that I was better than any PG class that I was supposed to be in. Like, I was supposed to be in the Mike P and Tink class and Chef Trez and all that.
That would have been wild.
Yeah, yeah. Like, actually, the very first PG that was supposed to be set up was me and Trez. Interestingly enough, we both didn't want to do PGs. You feel me?
Trez dodged a bullet, I'm gonna be honest, but go ahead though. My bad.
Nah, I wouldn't say that, man. Shout out to Trez. He's amazing. But I say all that to say, my shit was never about skill set. It was about the attention that I was garnering outside of that stage and the views and just the accolades that I was garnering outside of that stage. I just felt like, look, like, fam, you can't just, it's just not fair to put me into this mix with these guys that got, like, you know, 20,000, 30,000, 30,000 view battles. And I'm over here putting up, you know, 200, 300K on a league that has 3,000 subscribers.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like, I just felt like that should be respected. If we looking at it from an analytical viewership perspective, if it's not about skill set and it's about a brand and what can you bring to the table, then that was my argument. Like, I'm bringing something to the table, fam, that nobody in battle rap has done and nobody in battle rap will do. You know what I'm saying? Like, in my opinion.
Do you feel like skill should ultimately trump everything? So it's not the situation where you be like, you know what, I got this many views, I'm in this much acclaim, I'm in this many tweets and shit like that, so nah, you can't battle me over there even though you're talented. Like, are you moving like that? Because that's the other part of that sword. Okay, so you, if you going about it like, and you saying, you know what, it's not my skill set, it's that I'm in high demand, you know what I mean, high acclaim, high views and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? Do you feel like skill should always, like, how do you reconcile that with skill and matchups? You know what I'm saying? Because as you go further with this shit, people not going to sign you up for certain shit because they're like, well, bro, his name is over here. You know what I'm saying? Do you feel like that should be a determinant factor on matches, like how much acclaim you got and shit like that? Like,
that's an interesting one. That's an interesting question. Nah, I don't. I don't feel like it should be, you know, me personally, I'm not about skill set matches per se. I'm more so about does it make sense? Is there a conversation to be had? I mean, obviously, I like to battle with a purpose. So if you're asking me personally, I'm about conversations being made. You know what I'm saying? So if it's about conversations that could be made, then yeah, that's what I'm about. I'm about conversations that could be made and had. And so my thing is, like, let's line people up that actually have some type of animosity, something, you know, something to build upon, something that makes sense. You feel me? So, nah. So to answer your question, no, it's not really solely predicated upon skill set. Let's just set up matches that make sense.
Right.
You know, like Loso versus Scotty made no sense. Right. There's no narrative there. There's no argument there. It's just something that they wanted Loso to do, which was dope for him because he got to do it on known. You feel me? But in terms of like the matchup, it's just one of the matchups that didn't make sense. Shout out to him for doing it though, because he about to just skyrocket after that. But
right,
you know, when I look at that on paper, I think if anybody looks at that on paper, they're like, "What is that?" You know what I'm saying? It's just not a matchup that made any sense.
Yeah, I agree. I think Loso, for his part, he's professional and he did what he needed to do. Now the one, okay, so let's break you down real quick. So we get through the Lux, the early Lux talk, right? Because honestly, whenever anyone comes out, y'all niggas all sound like somebody else anyway, right? Like Wavy sound like right. Surf, somebody sound like Tay Rock, somebody sound like Verb. They always do that if you young and right. you good out here. So you kill right, that narrative. Right. You kill the whole, you know, I'm a, because when you first came out, I'm like, he's spitting conscious. I don't know if he bought that. Like the next time you show up, it's all like you talking that shit, that street shit. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. you kill that narrative. Yeah. Now the other narrative right. that's left over is the whole kind of being selective about the battle thing. You know what I mean? And then now I see you battling right. Mike P, and I know the type yeah. of content you coming with. You know what I'm saying? Is it just right. it, like, what is the motivation there? Like, walk me through the Mike P motivation. I gotta understand that.
The Mike P motivation is interesting, to be honest, because we had words back in the day. We had like disagreements and shit, but we actually became cool. Like, I don't really like battle rap niggas. Like, I don't fuck with a lot of battle rappers because. Like, for real, like, bro, I kid you not. These niggas is fraudulent, homie. Like, nigga, like, dog.
What you rap mean? Niggas, what, like, bro, like how?
They just not real, bro. Like, they really here to entertain. And I respect it, but it's like, my nigga, like, you know, where we from, you just can't be outside talking like that if you not that, bro.
Right.
You feel me? So I see niggas rap a certain way, and then when I meet him, and I be, like, talking to him a certain way, I'm like, oh, this nigga ain't really built like that. Like, wow. So that leads me to believe that you're an entertainer, you're an actor. You get on the stage and you act, and that's cool. Mm-hmm. But I say all that to say you rarely find people who are true to themselves, and Mike is one of those dudes. So I got a handful of battle rap homies that I truly fuck with, and actually, you know, within the past year or so, me and Mike, we became cool and shit. Chopping it up on the phone, mm-hmm. talking about our battles. You know what I'm saying? He hit me up after the Loso joint, hit me up after the EK joint. I hit him up after the Suge joint and the YK joint. You know, we just show mutual respect as MCs and shit. So it was weird when they was trying to make it happen again. KG was pushing for it, and I was just like, you know, we cool now. It's kind of weird. But you know, I thought about it. And personally, I feel like, you know, no disrespect to my partners. Outside of Geechee Gotti, I feel like I'm the West because it's what you can't just be like, oh, I'm geographically, I'm from here. Like I'm from LA. So my thing is like, I'm from here and I push the line though.
Right. Oh, okay. Here. Okay. I like this. I like that second part. I like that.
Yeah. Like I push the line. You feel me? It's like, you know, they got this whole Western Conference thing and that's cool. I don't really want to be a part of that. You feel me? Because there's a lot of goofy niggas on the West too that I don't really want to fuck with.
You don't want to be a part of the Western the movement because
I'm not part of Western Conference. I'm not part of Western Conference. It's goofy. It's
what?
Goofy.
The people in it or what? The message? What's going on?
The people in it. The people in it. The message. The whole thing is goofy. It's too all inclusive. It's too all inclusive. You know what I'm saying? Like you got. Listen, man. I don't know where these niggas is from or how they move or how they get up. But listen, bro, I'm telling you.
Sorry, this is funny, bro. That shit funny.
It is funny. It is funny. It's hilarious when you think about it. I mean, it's hilarious to think that Utah is the West Coast. That's fucking hilarious. The right. culture don't even match. Right. The culture doesn't even match. Arizona barely matches culturally. You feel me? You got a small pocket in Arizona that you can compare to LA culture. You know what I'm saying? So that's how Arizona gets it passed because they got a small pocket like deep down in Phoenix and shit. Like South Phoenix and shit in the city of Phoenix, which I'm frequently out there right. and I fuck with them. Like, they got an LA culture, but outside of that, it's all inclusive West Coast shit. Utah is the West Coast. New Mexico is the West Coast. All this extra shit. I'm like, bruh, it don't really make no sense because we're not pushing the same line. And honestly, none of y'all is really pushing the West like cutthroat like me. Mm. Like I'm pushing the West like I'm like West or nothing. I'm like, dog, we've been getting racked. This is the same shit that happened in the music industry. And I said it in the third round when I mentioned like NWA and shit. It's like our West Coast lineage, like they pushed the line for us to be able to be in the music industry.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And paid a heavy price for it.
And they paid a heavy price for it. And they went against all the odds for it. You feel me, fam? So I'm like, that's what I'm doing now. That's what I'm doing for you niggas. That's going to turn around and have like, bruh. These West Coast niggas don't really want to see me on. You feel me? It's a couple niggas like it's Geechee, Danny, like the LSC crew. Mm. And the only reason why I'm a part of LSC because
LSC left side connection, right?
West Side Connection. I think Battle Rap Cruise is goofy in general. It's just a goofy concept.
Yeah.
But I'm a part of LSC because there's actually like a business model. There's a business, like Diz got this whole shit mapped out. Shout out to Diz. He got all kind of business plans for the group and a lot of shit that makes a lot of financial sense that caught my attention. And we doing music. Like, we about to drop an album. It's a bunch of shit. Yeah, you feel me? So I want to be part of shit like that. I don't want to just be part of a movement just to say, oh, we all geographically from here. You know what I'm saying? But then I'm hearing whispers behind the scene. Niggas be hating on me. Niggas be saying this about me. I'm like, bro, I don't got time for that, bro. So I don't know how we segued all the way over here.
I like this. I like, because you do carry the West Coast on your back. And you know what? I tell people from the new battlers that we have up here, from like Milwaukee, Chicago, to the older veterans, when you do the regional, like, battle rap loves regional wars. They just do. Like, we like the rivalry. Yeah. The best time in battle rap to me will always be the Midwest movement era because of what the Midwest was trying to do. So
right.
I like to understand this incentive, but for you, this Left Side Connection joint. So the members, you, Danny, Geechee, Diz, who else is a part of that?
I think Rum is. I'm not sure. I think Rum is. He don't really be too active in the group chat, but you know, homie could be busy or whatever. I'm not sure, but I know actively that's really pushing it and really, you know, show up to the studio sessions and really record music and, you know, all that shit. Me, Geechee, Illmac, Daylight, Danny, and Diz.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a formidable squad, bro. I would love to see y'all take that show on the road at some point and. You know what I'm saying? Or have motherfuckers
Dope records. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the battle shit is cool, but we got dope records, like legitimately dope records. Like, I was just on the phone with Geechee the other day, and we both like, damn, when we gonna drop these records? It's really up to Illmac because it's through his whole little studio situation. And so he's sitting on all the records and shit. So we waiting to see what Illmac's move is. I know he just put out his project, so maybe that's what's holding the shit up. But we got enough records to at least drop an EP, like at least a 7-7-7 joint EP or something. You feel me? So me and Geechee is really on that and shit. And you know, Geechee probably the dude out of the crew. Me and Geechee probably relate the most. You know, obviously, he's a Crip. You know, I have a Pyru affiliation, and we come from the same background. Probably more so than anybody else in the group. So we talk a lot. We build a lot. You know, we trying to do the 2-on-2 thing and shit like that. So outside of Geechee and my LSC, you know, comrades, it's just nobody else pushes the West like in a way where it's like, nigga, I'm representing. It's like niggas push the West because they want to assimilate to the whole structure of battle rap. Like, you know, niggas knocking at the door, like, please let us in, please let us in. We the West. Like, I'm like, we the West. Fuck you niggas, blood. What's black? You feel me? Like, that's me.
You hear
that's
shit?
That's what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, bro, right. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, this whole battle rap shit is structured off gangster shit. I'm like, nigga, do you know where we're from? Like, why are we not taking advantage of the fact that this is really what, unfortunately, because I'm not trying to glorify it, but this is really what our lifestyle is predicated upon daily.
Yeah.
So how are we not the real representation of that? And I'm not saying other regions don't get it in on that level. I'm just saying, like, that's what LA is known for. Like, unfortunately, once again, I'm not trying to glorify. It's such a interesting, like, dichotomy when you speak them, like when you talk about it, because half of me is like, the shit is bullshit, and the other half of me is like, but we're in battle rap where everybody's supposed to be a gangster. So if all y'all niggas is gangsters, then we need to show y'all who the real gangsters is, because this is what we really from, like, every single day.
Yeah.
And that's what it's really about. And that's why Geechee is so special, because he's really like the personification of that shit. You know what I'm saying? And that's why he does so well and shit. And I'm like more of a balanced, you know, fucking got out, did 12 years in the pen, got out and read some books in that motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, I'm more so on that end and shit. Right. So yeah, I say all that to say, yeah, man, shout out to whoever's in the Western Conference. It's whatever. I'm just not from there.
Right.
I'm not
right.
from there.
I understand that. And I do like the passion behind the West Coast. I feel like you carry that banner pretty well. Now, you made a few niggas uncomfortable with that third round against Emerson Kennedy. I'm be honest here. It's a lot in that round that I really want to get to, because you seem to throw a lot of critiques at battle rap, at the business of battle rap. And shout out to everybody sitting alive right now too. I'm gonna get to the hot seat, y'all. We gearing up right now. The business of battle rap and how this shit is put together. You kind of you touched on that in the EK round. I thought that's what made it really powerful. Like, what is it about the business that is something that you want to change? The shit that you think is bullshit in it. You know what I'm saying? Like
I just find it interesting that there's not an equal understanding of a battler understanding that he's 50% of what's going on. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, the league is providing the platform, mm-hmm. but if you don't do what you do, then the league has nothing to produce. It's like, how does that work? You know, because I come from an industry background. Like, I grew up in the music industry. Like, my father been in the industry all my life. Like, I grew up seeing my father do deals and do paperwork and sign contracts and work with Easy, right. Dre, Shug, fucking Michael Jackson, all these people. I grew up like that. Like, I had that balance in my life from street shit to music, entertainment shit, business shit. Like, I grew up in it. So I'm looking at battle rappers like, dog, do you not understand that you're a brand, that you're a business within yourself? And you just get up here and you sign these contracts. And do you even know what the back end of the YouTube, you know, royalties and residuals is going to be at the very end of the day? Even if it's not to your benefit, do you even know, though? Like, do you ask these questions? Like, you just sign contracts and then you get your little whatever, your little 2 or 3 racks, and that's cool. And then they sell out the venue at 1,300, 1,500 capacity, $100 a pop. Mm-hmm. Like, what? You know what I mean? Like,
you don't think battlers are taking full advantage of the opportunity to understand the business? But the business, as a fan, the business pisses me off. I don't want to know certain shit. But now it's out in the open. So how is it advantageous to bring that shit to the forefront? Like, if you a battler, you putting that shit out there, it's like, now I don't get to see certain matchups.
Because I just don't give a fuck. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I just don't give a fuck about, like, trying to be politically correct about it. It's like, bruh, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you have the opportunity to, okay, so like me, I'm always trying to speak truth to power.
Right.
And so I care about my brothers. I care about my fellow battlers, if you will. I don't even want to consider myself a battle rapper, but for the conversation purposes, my fellow battle rappers, I'm like, dog, do y'all not see y'all star power? And not only, like, how are you just battle rapping? Like, you know, it's like you got a few dudes that really take advantage of the merchandising perspective when it comes to your brand. You know, you have a few dudes that understand that they need to make music as well and do other things and venture off. So I just hate to see, not only do I hate to see it, but I also hate when people try to impose that on me. Like I'm some young little 20-year-old, you know, just fresh off the stoop nigga, like I'm hungry for whatever little slice of pizza you're going to give me. Like, it's just that I know better than that. And I came in the game humbly, and I was talking on the phone with these league owners humbly at the beginning. And it's just like over time of continuously trying to be played and people getting at you a certain way, like you don't have value and shit like that. That's what just started irking me. And then at a certain point, I was like, man, this shit is goofy. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way I'm finna let you niggas be letting niggas cancel their battles and tell them they can't do this and you can't do that. And I'm like, bro, I would never, because you're not writing my rhymes. You're not getting up there rapping with my conviction. You're not doing none of that. And you're not really going to help me transcend battle rap either. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to try to help me. You're not going to try to help push me to the next level. You know what I'm saying? That needs to be in the contract. That needs to be in all the negotiation.
What needs to be in the contract? Like what? That the league, that the platform has to put marketing dollars behind the brand? Like, what are you advocating for?
If they're trying to lock you down as a brand. If a league is going to approach you and say, I want to sign you to my league to where you can only perform on this level. My next question is, okay, what are the benefits of that for me outside of just battle rap? Because now you're just marginalizing me. Like, what if I go on another platform and I have a big performance that leads to a different type of opportunity?
True.
So are you going to try to facilitate these different opportunities for me? Are you guaranteeing me that? Are you going to take me up to Funk Flex and let me get a freestyle in? Is that part of your complete agenda?
But with these guarantees, though, with these guarantees come they come at a price, right? I mean, there's something on the back end that the company has to recoup back, I would think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But that's what I'm saying. A lifetime commitment to battle on your league. that's how you recoup. Hmm. I'm giving you my talent. It's like signing to a label. Hmm. I'm giving you my talent. What are you going to do for me? It can't just always be, see, I'm a person that can argue. It can't just always be about the platform and the viewership, because a person like me can always argue, listen, I've done bigger numbers on a smaller league. Like, what are we talking about here? Me and Danny Myers got, whatever, 350,000 views. That's my highest view battle. I don't care about nobody trying to tell me, well, you and EK just dropped. It doesn't matter. The channel got over 800,000 subscribers, bro.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it just dropped. It should, if I'm this big deal in the culture, like some people think I am, then the view should have hit a different number then, right?
Right.
And here's an interesting argument. If I'm not a big thing in the culture, then what am I a big thing to? Because how am I able to do 300,000 views on a small league? Does that mean that I have a niche market that I cater to, that follows me? Like, what are we talking about here? You feel me? And then we get into a whole different conversation with people's perspective on, you know, URL being the NBA of battle rap.
Yeah.
And then my argument being, you know what I'm saying? And that's cool. I don't knock that. But if that's it, then we need to have a whole different conversation about B-Dot and his worth and his value.
Hmm. Okay. And that's because you battle tested and because you have gotten views on other platforms and things like that. I get that. I understand it completely. Let's talk about the wins and losses, though. The win-loss aspect. You think it's fair that somebody gets...
Never won a battle.
What do you mean? You never won a battle.
I've never won a battle because I'm not battle rapping.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
I'm not battle rapping, bro. And if you think about it, I'm probably battle rapping for like a round and a half. Mm. Like the gun bars and the arbitrary intricate entendres and all that shit. I probably do that for like a round and a half, and then I get to talking, and then I get to actually rapping, and then I get to displaying lyricism, which unfortunately is not battle rap to you guys.
It's not battle rap to you guys. What do you mean? It's not battle rap to you guys.
Like, let's just be honest, because if it was, it would be more of a constant thing within the culture. And so when I do what I do, I'm not saying everybody, I'm not saying you, I'm saying generally speaking, the majority of the fan base will tell you that I'm filler. The majority of the fan base will tell you that I'm filler.
I do see the that.
We see it, we don't just see it here and there. It's the majority of the fan base. And so what we can conclude from that is to say, okay, well then that's not battle rap to them.
Hmm.
It's just not rapping is not battle rap.
But there's a directness though with this shit that I feel like people associate with that rather than you just jumping in the cipher. Like, why would we not just watch you in the cipher if we didn't want to, you know what I mean? Like, there's a breakdown aspect to this, right?
Yeah, but I don't know the answer to that. It's weird to me. It's like, what are we talking about here? Because when I do what I do, the pushback is, he ain't really. I mean, you got niggas actually saying that I didn't say nothing about EK in my third round.
That's how you know the game, right?
That's how you know the game is fucked up, because your mind can't even grasp the fact that the whole if I wasn't battling EK, I wouldn't have even been able to pull off the whole PG perspective. Like, is niggas that dumb? Like, are niggas really that dumb? It had to be EK, because the premise of the conversation was, my nigga, you're letting these niggas put you back in the PG. PG for what? That was the whole, like, that's how I started the round. I wouldn't even be able to even lay that whole groundwork down if it wasn't EK. Like, that's what I don't understand. Oh, he didn't say nothing about EK. I opened up the whole round talking about how EK had to do a PG again and how he retired from battle rap, came back and got demoted. Whoopie, whoopie, whoop. It laid the groundwork. When I write, because I'm not a punchline rapper that comes up with punchlines and then tries to think about space to fill it up with and think about setups, I don't rap like that. I rap like normal MCs rap, where we rap with fluidity. And we rap and then we think of the next line and the next line, and it builds. So when I came up with that shit, the premise was to attack EK about being a PG, and then everything else just fell in my lap because of the whole conversation I could have on a grander scheme of things. But if it wasn't versus EK, it wouldn't have happened like that. It probably wouldn't have happened at all.
Hmm. Okay.
You feel me?
Okay. There's nobody else you can say. Because a lot of people are saying that they felt like that third round was about Smack. Now, they appreciated it. I appreciated it. I thought it was more so about Smack and the West Coast. Those are the takeaways I had on it.
No, of course it was. No. Of course it was. Like 80% of that was. 80 to 90% of that was. And of course, the 10 to 15% perhaps was directed towards EK. But my point is, it depending upon the opponent in the conversation, like if that was an East Coast PG dude, the conversation would have been different. Like the whole layout was only because it was EK. That's what allowed it to happen that way. Hmm. And so that's why I'd be like dumbfounded when people be like, oh, you didn't address EK. I'm like, damn, man. Like the whole thought process was based off EK having to do a PG and how West Coast dudes get treated. And, you know, even though he's from Utah, he's considered to be a West Coast dude. That's what laid the whole groundwork for the shit.
Right. Right. I don't think, you know what? I'm going to go back. I'm going to listen to that because that's really where I was with it. But the directness and indirect bar thing, I really think people are just selective at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like either they fuck with that from you or they don't. Because I know when certain people not direct, then they get a pass. Other people, then it's like, yo, money is super random and shit like that. You know what I mean? So like I'm done trying to figure that part out. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
But yeah, so if we can transition over back to so back to battle rap, back to Mike P and shit like that, and not wanting to be called a battle rapper, I find that interesting. Is that because you make music or you feel like it's a bad title to have? Like what? Why the focus?
No,
on that?
I just don't think I do what these other dudes do. So you know, it's like. So what's the objective? What are we being graded on? You know what I mean? Like what's the skill set being graded upon? You know, usually or predominantly it seems to be punchlines. Who had the best punchlines? And I'm a punchline rapper. I'm not finna entendre you to death. I just can't do it because I'm just too much of a lyricist. Like I want to rap. I want to get to a point. I want to say shit that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? I'm too much of a lyricist. I can't go without rapping. Like I don't want to sit there and come up with a punchline and then write a bar before. I can't do that. I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I want to rap.
It's too much of a formula and shit like that out there right now. It does seem like the shit comes in waves. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like a lot of people trying to do what Nitty and do what Twerk are doing. Speaking of. Who are you fucking with right now? Who do you think is doing their thing? And like, if I know it's some aspect of competition here. Who do you think is in league with the shit that you writing right now?
Well, once again, I don't think nobody is doing what I'm doing. Like, so I can't even like compare to like what I'm doing. Mm. But in terms of like battle rapping, I think that Nitty and Twerk is just out of here. You feel me? Like, I think the shit that they doing is just not even. I think that they're the best by like a landslide. It's not even close.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I don't think it's close. I think the shit that Twerk is doing is like next level creativity. And I don't want to say that to slight like Danny. I think Danny's one of the best punchers to do it. But I just mean, you know, just some new fresh shit, some shit that gets me excited again about battle rap. Mm. When I watch Twerk, I'm like, okay, he's doing something different. He's doing his punches are just creative. And then Nitty too, like it's just too I just can't understand how them two niggas even think like that. I just think it's genius. I think it's genius, bro. I just watch it and I'm really in awe. So I would say off the top of my head, I mean, I like a lot of people, don't get me wrong, but off the top of my head, I would say Twerk and Nitty for sure.
Just because I think it's important, like, what do you think about, you know, concepts, punchlines, like lyrics being lifted? And you seem to have a little bit more of that lately of guys sounding the same. Doing the same type of thing, like what would you attribute that to? Like, have you seen that? Is it a big deal to you?
It's supply and demand, you know. In any business, you see what the consumer is asking for, and you supply it. That's what I see.
You're not about to say it's our fault, bro. You're not about to say that.
Hey, listen. This is. It's not necessarily your fault, but you know, if I'm trying to sell something to a consumer base, and I see the homie over here selling it very effectively and doing very well for himself, I'm going to copy if I have no no thoughts about branding and integrity and the integrity of myself, like a lot of these battle rappers don't. If I don't have any integrity, then yeah, I'm just going to look at the next guy and say, well, what's his formula and how is that working for him? And I'm going to, you know, try to do it the same way. I try to give the fans and the consumers what they seem to be gravitating towards that he provides. You know what I'm saying? That's what I see personally. I just see a lot of dudes trying to do not necessarily the same thing, but just the same, trying to get to the same result. And honestly, it don't bother me that much. Like I don't know. I mean, I don't watch everybody, but the people I do watch and I see some similarities. Like you got the Lou Castro dude, but he seemed to be really cool with Twerk.
Yeah.
So that's his man, and he sound fucking just like Twerk to me. You know what I'm saying? Like he sound exactly like Twerk, and it's like, but that shit is dope. He's dope. Like I don't know, but you asking the wrong guy because I'm the fake Lux, so I don't know. You feel me? Like, so
you got to throw that one back in there. I wonder how long people will hold on to that narrative. I feel like at this point, the people that still got that narrative are just, they just never was going to like you anyway. I'm going to be honest. I mean, you can't shake that one.
Real quick. I was just going to say, the funny thing is when I do see people that say that to me or whatever online, I dig a little deeper and then I find out what the real issues really are. You know, like you'll have somebody on Twitter be like, yeah, you a fake, tweet me like you fake ass Lux. I go to their page and they're like a super duper Christian and shit. Yeah. Like, or yeah, like, yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, and just today some nigga was like, Mike P finna 3-zip you fake ass Lux. You got Lux balls in your mouth and whoopie whoop, saying all this wild shit. I go to this page, nigga from Long Island. Oh, okay. Okay. Mm. You're from Long Island. So of course you're going to feel that way. Hey baby, yeah, hey mama. So yeah, man. But I, honestly, it doesn't really bother me anymore because I said this analogy before on the phone with somebody. But it's like, listen, if somebody whooping your ass, oh, I said the analogy that I often say. I said it on the phone with someone before is that if you get into a fight and the nigga whoop your ass, you have to defend yourself or find a way to beat him. But what you cannot do is just be like, oh, that nigga whooped my ass, but he fight just like Mike Tyson. You know, it's like, right. It's not going to work. Like you, it doesn't matter when you're in, like when Mike P is in a ring with me, all the Lux, fake Lux shit is not going to matter because I'm rapping in front of him. And that's what everybody finds out. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. Like whatever, you know what I'm saying? You can get up there and have the dopest Lux, fake Lux angle in the world, but I still get a turn to rap. You feel me? So it's like, it's just kind of, at this point, it's just kind of relevant to the battle. It's good to conversate about it on Twitter, online, and make jokes and shit. But when we in that ring and we fighting, bro, that shit ain't gonna save you.
Right, and you know what? You know, and Mike P and his, because I heard the diss songs. I was fucking with the diss songs. I was. I like the pre-battle songs and shit like that. Now Mike P and his joint, he called out a lot of shit. You know what I'm saying? Like he's saying that, you know. You mad you ain't the focal point, and you know what I'm saying? You got this sense of entitlement and shit like that. He touched on some shit, Dot. He did.
Let me ask you. Now, peep this. Let me ask you this. What did I say about Mike P?
Your shit wasn't... Oh, okay, dude. You wasn't okay, going crazy. You wasn't going at... Your whole shit wasn't at him like that. You wasn't.
Oh, okay. Okay, then. Okay, then.
You wasn't after him like
not,
that.
Listen, I cannot be that much smarter than the culture. Like it really boggles me. Mm-hmm. It's really like I make these strategic moves and I sit back and I watch shit play out the exact way that I wanted to, and I'm like, wow, they didn't get it. Wow, that's crazy. They did not get it.
But you're, and then I'm like, you weren't super direct in that joint. I mean, you painted the narrative that he typically goes for, like what was the line, like a Mikey, he'll eat anything, like he'll.
It was nothing. It was nothing. It was nothing. It was nothing. Now that we're closer to the battle, it don't matter that I say this now, but that was bait. That was bait. That was bait. And he bit the bait and he regurgitated so much of it back to me. Like, it's just like, yo, wow. You didn't even peep that move. That's crazy. And then you got people, oh, Mike P's diss track was killing B-Dot's. I'm like, wow, fam. I rapped for like a minute and a half about a bunch of other shit, and then I told Mike P he better have his hair in a bun and then give it to Mikey, he'll eat anything. Just to see what type of response he would do that would indicate any type of perception that he has of me before the battle.
Mm. So now we got the angle. So now we know the type.
No, I've been had the angle. I just wanted to hear, since me and Mike is friends, I want to hear, okay, Mike, what don't you like about me? Give me somewhat of an indication. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
Give me somewhat of an indication. Because the round's been done. Malcolm, stop. Stop. Hey, stop. The round's been done, really, but I just need an indication of just a mindset of where you're coming from.
Hmm.
And so that, and all that boils back into me just not giving a fuck about like what the fans got to say and shit, because I know it's a bigger picture. Right. I mean, for anybody to really think my shit was a diss track and I like went in on them and all this shit, that's crazy. Like, I said a couple bars and that was it. And we wrapped it up and then we sent it out. And it was more so promotion and shit, you know, for the joint.
Right, right. Oh, man.
Are you serious? Man,
here. Having a time over here.
That's my daughter right there. She be tripping.
Yeah. But when I looked at it, I said, you know what? I see it's a little bit of a toe in the water. See what's going on and shit. And you actually can rap. I just was surprised at how Mike came back at you. When you hearing some of the things that he's saying, are you just dismissive? Like, nah, that's bullshit. Or if he come with this angle, he gonna get killed. Like, what? Like,
yeah, bro. If he, I don't think he will. I hope that he's smarter than that. But yeah, the shit he was saying was like, wow. It's like, really? Like, that's the approach, if that's any indication of any potential angles, you know, it's just gonna be a long night.
Mm.
It's gonna be a long night. You can't create conversation with me based off your assumption of my moves.
Right.
Oh, you're a hypocrite. You did that third round, but you back on smack. How you know I'm not gonna do another third round like that?
True. He don't.
You don't know. You don't know. I might have a reason why I'm back on smack. I might have some more shit to say. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, you can't have those type of perspectives unless you like for sure know, like, okay, you contradicted yourself, or you're a hypocrite because of this and that move. This is chess. So these moves are not even finished. The game is not even over yet. And you have a perspective on moves being made. And that's what let me know. It's just, Mike is a good dude. I like Mike and I think he's really talented. But that's what let me know, just in terms of like having a conversation with me or substance.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say he can't do it, because I don't like to say that. But I highly doubt it. We really got to see. We really got to see on Sunday if he's able to have some type of angles and some type of creative perspective on me, like an EK did or like a Cortez did. So I don't know, man. We'll just have to see. I don't so much worry about my opponents. I worry about what I do and making sure I'm on 110% anyway. So
exactly. So we'll see. I just is the time, like, if we go with the time limits, man, because I'm not over the verb shit, Dot. I'm not over it, bro. That battle is headed for classic territory if it's three minutes per.
Yeah, that battle. Drop.
So
that's a wasted battle. That's a wasted battle, man.
Facts.
I think the two battles that I wish I never did was Daylight and the Verb joint. It was just pointless. Both of those battles is pointless. But
yeah,
For this joint, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, man. I hope it's not a time issue. It's a lot to talk about, so I hope it's not a time issue. I'm definitely, you'll never, I don't care if my opponent raps for 10 minutes, you'll never hear me time somebody. I don't believe that anybody in the game besides maybe Disaster, Illmac, I don't know, maybe Pat Stay, Mook. I don't believe Iron Solomon, maybe. I don't believe too many guys in the game have the capability to rap for that long and be that entertaining and have so much to say. So I personally it don't bother me if my opponent want to rap. You know what I'm saying? I feel like sooner or later he's going to fall off because he's just not built for that. It's like Mayweather versus McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
You know somebody don't got the win for that shit. So me personally, I don't think Mike P has the win to be up there rapping for 6 or 7 minutes. And even if he did, I would let him rap. I'm mm-hmm. not tripping.
Right.
It's all good.
Right. You're not worried about that because your material is strong enough. Now, okay, so you've only had close battles, in my opinion. Yeah, the battles that besides the Daylight situation was, you know, but between, and I would even say between Core, Strict, you know what I'm saying, EK and Verb, I'm saying that those are close battles. And I see the narrative forming about you only having close battles.
I've never won a battle. ever.
never.
I'm not even being sarcastic. I have never won a battle, like, because I'm not battle rapping, once again. So if anybody has me losing or has me in debatables, I'm like, that's cool, because I'm not even doing what you guys are asking me to do. Like, I'm not following the rules or following the structure. I'm just doing my own thing and, you know, getting the shit off my chest that I want to rap about. Because as far as I know, battle rap don't have no rules. Hip hop don't have no rules. Everybody don't have to be gangsta, and everybody don't have to be conscious. We can have a balance. Right. So I'm a conscious battle rapper. So I get up there and I do the things and I say the things I want to do. You know what I'm saying? And they don't necessarily fit into the format of grading or giving points for a win or a loss. So once again, I've never won a battle.
It's interesting. I can see the comments now on this angle. I find it interesting. It's a different approach. If it allows the material to be original, I'm all for it. But I find this interesting, because you're not saying it in a way like you look down on it. It's just more of, this is what I got a certain thing that I'm trying to accomplish in the ring. It doesn't really have anything to do with how people rank the battles or wins and losses and shit. You approaching this shit completely different. I find that interesting.
Absolutely. And I said that from day one. You feel me? Like, from day one, like the Danny, from all the way back to the strip joint, Danny joint, I've always said, like, I'm a conscious battle rapper. It's like if you go on Tidal or whatever, and you look for gangster rap, then that's what you're here for. Mm. But if you go look for gangster rap and you come across Talib Kweli or Common, you're going to be like, this is trash. So it's the same thing in battle rap. Battle rap is about being violent, you know, being aggressive and just destroying your opponent no matter what, no holds bar. And here I am coming in with aggression, with that same format, but just thought provoking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't think that my shit is ever to be scored correctly, because I'm not actually playing the same game.
All right, I'm gonna go left road just real quick, because I had this debate, because I listened to a lot of late. I don't know what it is about the West lately for like the last 2-3 years, but y'all been making some of the best albums. I've been like, between what TDE is doing, Nipsey and YG and all them, Mozzie, I'm fucking with what's going on right now. Now, I want to ask you about classic or just comparisons with West Coast and shit like that. Good Kid, Mad City, or the documentary by The Game. What's up?
Good Kid, Mad City, by far.
By far?
By far.
Wow.
Yeah, by far for me personally. And both of them touched on aspects of my life. When documentary dropped, it was my freshman year in college. I had just... my freshman year in college and shit. And nostalgia. I was like, yeah, you feel me? And the reason why I fucked with it so tough, you know, because obviously Game is a B-dog. He pyro and shit. And my freshman year in college, I was like the only B-dog on the team. It was like two or three Crip dudes. And we used to always get into it. Arguments, damn near fights and shit. They would have to break it up. So I just remember playing that shit, like that shit was like my soundtrack. Right. You feel me? Like, and then obviously, Good Kid, Mad City is like, so like, me and Kendrick got so many similarities, because I was never like the jump out dude. I was never like, you know, gunning shit down and popping shit. Like, I was never necessarily that. You feel me? I was just from the neighborhood, from the environment that breathes that. But I could relate to Kendrick in that sense with the title. So in terms of the content and also just sonically, I just feel like Good Kid, Mad City was a for me personally, I related to the content a little bit better, and I just think sonically it was a more well-rounded album.
Right. And I mean, between now what he did with Dan winning the Pulitzer and shit like that, like, is Kendrick getting into that? Is he top 5 for you? Top 3 out the West? Like, what's wow, I want to get a sense of what you fucking with musically.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's when people ask me like what type of music I make, I tell them like I'm a fusion of Kendrick and Cole, like, honestly. So you're asking me about literally like my favorite rapper and the homie. Like, I know Kendrick like personally, like a friend of mine. Ain't spoke to him in years. I'm gonna keep it a buck because he's Kendrick now. But you feel me? Like, yeah, we used to do records back in the day. You know, that's the homie and shit. So I relate to him more as a person, so his content resonates with me more. The same way I'll always say Tupac is just the greatest rapper of all time, for me personally, because of the content You know, I'm not saying he's the best lyricist or the best technically sound rapper, but the content. So same thing with Kendrick. I definitely got Kendrick in my top five, top three on the West. That would be something I would have to sit down and think about.
Right.
Because late 80s, early 90s, Cube.
Yeah, man, I was about to say Cube was the blueprint for a lot of shit, back-to-back classics. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
I still listen to America's Most Wanted. Like, I that's like, he's saying the shit that I rap about in these rounds. Like, he was really on some pro-black militant shit. Like, people don't understand he was really with that shit.
You feel like that style of hip-hop is coming back? Like, do you feel like that lyricism is coming back and shit? I just listened to the J-Rock project, which I can't get enough of. What do you think about those narratives and shit like that? And I feel like it's interesting. It's coming out of the West, for me as an East Coast dude.
You mean like aggressive conscious music, like
Does it seem like a shift in your opinion?
It's a shift. The whole world is shifting. You feel me? I think everything is shifting. I think culture is shifting. I think everybody's just had enough, man. This shit is affecting too many people. The shit that's happening in this country is always been a black issue, but now it's everybody's issue because it's just affecting too many people, man. I think the whole culture is shifting. And so I think that the fan bases, who are predominantly white for the most part, are starting to predominantly white and liberal, let me say that, right, are starting to appreciate the content. You know, of course they still love the shit that they love, the bitch drop it low, shake that ass, whoop whoop, all that shit.
Right.
But I think as the shit is playing out in the world, I think they're just more receptive to it. I think they're more understanding to our plight and what we need to get out. You know, the conversations that we need to have as a people. And I just think that they're rocking with it now, which is making guys, you know, more susceptible to do that now. Like in the booth, like when they're creating the album, when they're being creative, they're like, yo, I can actually talk about some things now because Kendrick kicked down the door. J. Cole kicked down the door, you know, so it's just a different time. You feel me? So it's a perfect time for an artist like myself.
It's definitely dope to see that people expand the content in those directions. But I mean, just politically, the bullshit that's going on, man, I'm just trying to escape the apathy. You know, I'm real civic minded and shit like that. I think me and you have slightly different ideas on what could help. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm very much an advocate of getting into your civics and your local elections and shit like that. But I see what's going on in terms of, it just seemed like we getting soft, B. Dot. I'm gonna be honest, man. Like, I'm not an advocate of violence, bro, but it's just the fact that it seemed like our culture, our people letting so much shit slide, bro. It's fucking weird. Yeah, no,
I agree with that. I agree with that. I think the brothers got fear of the system and shit that they can't get away with. Like, I almost, as much as I love Hov and as much as I love that line that he said on the Drake joint.
Right.
I thought it was a bit irresponsible.
Streets is dead. Street, that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. I thought it was a bit inflammatory and a little bit irresponsible. Why? You feel me?
Because I just come? Is he not right? I mean, y'all let Zimmerman live.
No. He's right.
Yeah.
He's right. He's right. But we're not in a position to protect ourselves systematically yet. So it's like you're inciting something for brothers to do where they could just potentially just throw it all away. You know what I'm saying? Like without these systems designed for us to get off the way that white folks get off and shit like that. You feel me? Yeah. That's why white people do the things they do. And that's why white cops do the things they do, because there's not a fear of the system. They know at the end of the day, even if I have to defend myself in some bullshit excuse of a way to shoot this black man down.
Right.
And once I get into the court system, I know that I'm going to be able to defend myself. You feel me? Mm-hmm. And black people know that that's not the case for us. So while we may seem passive or whatever, I just think it's more so brothers is afraid of the system. So they're willing to put in work on the next homie over some blood shit, some crip shit, some money shit, whatever, because they're not fearing the politics of the streets. Like they know that they can shoot somebody down and get away with that, whoopie, whoopie, whoopie. But they know if they kill a cop or if they kill somebody in the system or whatever, they know that the system is against them and they can't really fight that on that type of level.
That's
my personal
opinion. I tend to agree. Do you think there's a missing leadership? You know what I'm saying? Because the celebrities piss me off. I'm going to be honest.
There's a missing organization, bro. And people have to be unapologetic about organizing and being, and that's the thing. People are so afraid to be pro-black. But you have to be in this scenario. Like, if you truly want justice and you truly want this shit to change, you have to align yourself with some type of foundation or some type of organization that stands for that. You cannot play this passive bullshit liberal democratic game that a lot of black people fall for. Like, you can't do it. We can't do it anymore. We have to align ourselves.
But a lot of organizations is just like, as soon as they get big, they all, like, you find out later that they did this shit all for notoriety. They did this shit all for likes. And we know that being out there, like, I done been out there and shit arrested and all the dumb, all the crazy shit in college and all that. Like, that's just not fun. You see what I'm saying? But how can you trust the organizations when it seems like the highest bidder, now they in the pocket? Like how do you do that?
Well, you got to find the right ones. And by finding the right ones, you got to find the right ones that's talking about an economic plan. Like, you got to find the right ones that are talking about the shit you was talking about earlier, like your civil shit, your local elections, you know, approaching the shit like municipally, like from that perspective. And you got to find the ones that are trying to buy land and own cities and really restart Black Wall Street. Like, that's how we become sovereign. That's how we become a nation within a nation and do those types of things. It's not about like the old school way. That shit didn't work. Brandishing guns, walking around, protecting the community with rifles and shit like the Black Panthers did. That shit was dope. That was some G shit, but it's just not going to work like that. The shit needs to be more systemic. It needs to be more thought out and more economic. Mm-hmm. So you have to align yourself with organizations that are about that and unapologetically about that. Unapologetically like Black and telling you this is for Black people only. This is for our communities and this is for us. Once you start playing the game of like trying to balance it out and, oh, you know, it's all good. We fuck with white people. And we just, once you start playing them type of games, that's when you open up the floodgates to just opinions from others that don't go through what we go through and what we experience.
Right.
Since it's a Black experience, it needs to be Black solutions from Black people. Mm. Period.
Right.
You feel me? So yeah, I mean, I know a lot of organizations that are on that type of time, you know, it just depends on who you trying to get down with and who you trust. And, you know, and that's a big issue within Black communities. We have a hard time trusting each other, and I get that. But hey, man, so at a certain point, we got to do something.
We got to do something. Because this shit right here, this presidency and this shit that's going on. I mean, God, every motherfucking, like, I mean, Obama couldn't even say, he couldn't even say certain shit out loud. Like, the way Trump is moving out here just reaffirms all
this
shit.
This motherfucker about to go meet with Putin on the low.
On the low.
On the low. Like, no, like, nigga, we finna talk one-on-one with nobody in the room. It's the wildest, like, it's like the wildest presidential meeting in fucking history of the United States of America. It's wild, bro. Like, the concept is wild.
Right.
Like, it's so to me, it is what it is until this motherfucker get out of office. I don't think there's nothing we could do on that scale of things politically until he get out of office. Like, that's just about it. We just got to make sure this motherfucker don't get reelected. And more importantly, in my opinion, I don't give a fuck about who's in office. To be honest, we still got to do what we got to do on the ground. Period.
Yeah.
It could be Obama. It could be anybody. It could be another Black man. It could be whoever the fuck. I don't trust none of them motherfuckers. I don't fuck with Democrats or Republicans. It's all this sick, cynical game that they got going on for me personally. So I'm like, let's just build shit from the ground up and, you know, govern our own communities. And there's blueprints to it. We see it, man. Everybody else does it within their own communities. Asian motherfuckers don't give a fuck about voting. It was last time. I didn't vote this time, but I voted the 4 years before.
Yeah.
So I didn't see no Asian motherfuckers in line at all. Niggas don't care about who you vote for. Well, I'm from LA, so maybe it's an LA thing. I'm not sure. But out here, Asians, they don't give a fuck. They got Koreatown. They got Chinatown. They got their own shit. They don't give a fuck about who's in office. They do their thing. So I just think that we can follow those type of blueprints as a people. We have the biggest spending power. You know what I'm saying? We if we really buckle down on it from an economic standpoint, we could really get it done.
Yeah.
But as you say, it's about trust and leadership, and it's about a lot of things that we have issues within our own selves, and I get that. So it's a lot to work through, but we got to start, bro.
Right. You have to start somewhere. I've been tapping into the conscious community every now and again. I was a little bit disenchanted with the shit because I always felt like it was a lot of ideas, a lot of proselytizing, a lot of theories, but it was not much action. Is it still do you still have an affiliation with like Brother Polite? Are you still following the kind of the ideas coming out of, you know, him and that whole movement and things like that. Like what is your perspective on that? Just with everything that's going on now, you know what I'm saying? Like, do you feel like it's more needed? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I see a lot of people actually talking about that, you know what I'm saying? And things. I hate when black men get in position leadership and we just, the natural instinct is for us to tear him down. But he has said a lot of shit that has kind of caught people the wrong way. So I wonder if you still follow him and shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Pete Polite is like a brother of mine. You feel me? So my view on him is more like personal. Like, I done been to his house. He done treated me and my wife with nothing but respect. My children, you know what I mean? So it's like more like a brother level. But I don't agree with like a lot of the stuff he say. And I also don't agree with a lot of the stuff that a lot of dudes in the conscious community say. Anyways, you feel me? And so I think that whole thought process of following somebody or being a part of one person's movement, that's religious. And that's another problem. Like, why would we come up out of religion or come up out of those type of different paradigms just to jump right into another one? You feel me? So me personally, do I still love him and respect him and you know, look at him like a brother? Yeah. We talk every now and then, maybe like once every couple months, but in terms of following him and shit like that, I would argue that I never really did. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem with the conscious community. Everybody wants to, like, you know, with this whole leadership shit. I'm not one that necessarily believes in the idea of like a one like a patriarchal type of like leadership type of happening within within the culture. I think that it should just be, you should get down with like-minded individuals and form an organization and make shit happen. And there should be no face of the organization or no, oh, this is our leader. It should not be like that. Because, you know, how the saying go, you cut the head off the snake, the whole shit is over. You feel me? So
that's a fact.
I personally, you know what I'm saying? So no, shout out to P, shout out to a lot of dudes in the conscious community that do their thing. But I think that the conscious community, that even that saying, the conscious community, is just too broad. And it just includes too many different schools of thoughts that I don't even fuck with.
It does seem monolithic, and that was the one thing, is like, you know what I'm saying, I'm very you know, conscious and stuff like that, and I'm very to the left and things like that. But what I will say, the people who talking that economic empowerment shit the best are black conservatives, man. They just are. I for whatever reason, when it comes time to put pen to paper and figure out what needs to be done from an entrepreneurial standpoint and owning and wealth and sustainment and shit like that, I'm learning more from that community than, you know what I'm saying, what's native to me. You know what I'm saying? And some of that shit really don't jive for me socially either. Like, I can't take race out of the equation. But when it comes to the ideas of trying to rebuild and establish black wealth, they talking that shit the best to me. You know what I mean?
No, you know, and I get that, like a Candace Owens and that whole vibe. Like, I get it. But once again, I'm not comfortable unless we're talking about some type of approach that's unapologetically black and culturally black. And when I say black, that's synonymous for me. That's synonymous with African. So if it's not that approach for me, then I'm still a little skeptical, because I don't really know what the true agenda is. Because if the agenda is assimilation into Western society, or you know, this country in the way that it is, I'm not assimilating with no country that can't even apologize for what they did to our ancestors and try to set the whole shit straight by some form of reparations. I'm not talking about a check for every black person, but some type of form of reparations within these communities that never got a good start. Mm-hmm. And as a result, as a residual effect, you get brothers that never get to be nothing in life, and sisters that never get to be nothing in life, end up pregnant at 12, 13, 14, brothers end up banging, you know, getting shot up, shooting somebody, being on drugs, all because the country didn't give a fuck about those communities in the beginning. Right. So if you're not going to rectify that problem, then, you know, a lot of that shit does sound good. I trust me, I dig it. But if you're not going to go back and rectify those problems and admit that America is trash, that's the problem. It's like this black, you're black and you're proud to be an American. I'm like, for what? These people fuck with me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
talk, these talk. people,
It's just crazy. Like, these people fucked over your ancestors and they have not done anything to rectify the situation. And now you're this black Republican that wants to say, you know, blame everything on the liberals and the Democrats. And that's cool because I don't fuck with Democrats neither. But my thing is like, OK, but what are you really talking about in terms of the history of our people in this country? And are you really trying to rectify that? Like, let me see you come into these downtrodden communities and neighborhoods that never got a good start. Let me see you clean this shit the fuck up. Let me see you fund these schools and fund these programs for these inner city kids to get them out of the street and get them out of the hood and get them out of, you know, the school to prison pipeline. Let me see you change that and then I'll fuck with you. Other than that, you know, you're just talking about little band-aid shit, trying to fix this and fix that for the black communities, but you're not even trying to go back to the foundation of what put it all in place.
Right.
So until we start having those conversations, man, I'm still like, fuck them.
And I used to hate the little photo op shit because I was a teacher for a while and, you know, I was an upper bound as a part of TRIO programs and stuff like that. And they used to love their photo ops and shit. And I'm like, bro, we got to go back to class because we got to, you know, I got a whole test ready for them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't got no time to be smiling. Yeah, like all this smiling and shit. They like, Tone, why are you so serious? I'm like, yo, this is the front lines right here. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate you digging into that bag and all that. You know what I'm
saying? You just lost. You know you just lost all your viewership right now because we talking about some real shit.
Hey, I don't give a fuck. Yo,
I bet. I just make sure.
Listen, sometimes you know what I'm saying. You give them what they want. You give them what they need. You know what I'm saying? So hey
that's exactly how I approach my battles. I feel that.
Hey, we got the same agenda. I appreciate it and shit like that, bro. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's important for you, especially because you actually got some shit to say up there. Niggas want to see you battle, and you're not battling all the time. So it's always fresh content. But I will say, don't sleep on Mike, man. I don't know. I don't think you're sleeping.
I'm not. I mean, if you peeped any of my interviews or anything I've said about Mike, I say that he's exceptional. And I say that he doesn't get to just do that he deserves. And I say that he's a hell of an MC. In fact, I think he's one of the best, like, pure rappers in the sport, along with myself. Mm. So, you know, the respect is there, man. I'm definitely not sleeping on him. In fact, you know, I said this in a tweet, I think, but like my preparation for him in terms of how much I respect him and what he do is on the same level as I did, you know, when I prepared for Danny Myers. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody else, I knew they just cannot rap better than me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But Mike is a really good rapper. And I prefer that. And that's what I like listening to when I watch battles. And that's what he does. So, nah, man, I'm definitely not sleeping. That's the last thing I would do.
No doubt, sure. Bro. And before you get up out of here and shit like that, I like to give a little time to, you know what I mean, promote the social media, the Instagram, the new projects and shit like that you got out, you know what I mean? All of that, you know what I mean, for the audience.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate it, man. I think every time we talk, I talk about an album or some music coming. So
yeah, right.
that shit getting redundant, but I promise you it is coming. I just got a little situation I got to handle on the business end. But check me out on Twitter and on Instagram at b.thegod. There's underscores between the words. So b_dot_the_god. That's on Twitter and that's on the gram. So yeah, just follow me. You know, I'm pretty active. I be going on and off on Twitter, but I'm pretty active on both, on Twitter and the gram. So I fuck with the fans and I'll be chopping it up and shit. I ain't like no uppity ass nigga trying to act better than nobody for me. So I fuck with everybody. So follow me on there, holler at me. It's all good.
And if Doc cleans you up in the Twitter debates, like, don't be deleting your shit. Me and him both hate that, man. He be cleaning y'all niggas. Like, I hate when they, you know what I'm saying? Like, they wanna debate you on some politics. You clean them up and they delete it, man. B Dot not gonna delete it, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh no. Nah, not at all. Not at all, bro. I be loving that shit, man. I like to learn this shit. So if somebody could teach me something, or you feel me, I'm all for that. I ain't deleting shit, bro.
I got on that motherfucker, man. I seen you throttling some white boy. I'm like, damn, this nigga don't got a chance. Like, he was getting fucked up. Like,
yeah, I don't even know why they be fucking with me, bro.
I don't know why.
I don't know why they be fucking with me, man. My wife would tell you, like, I'm the great debater, bro. Like, I just love to fucking argue and shit. So I don't even know why people be fucking with me. Like, that's my shit.
Word,
so all good.
Oh yeah, wait. Last thing before you go. So LeBron now. So Yo. Hold up. First of all, I don't like that laugh. I don't like the laugh you just did, bro. Yo, what the fuck is going on in LA right now, bro? Like, what's up, man?
We loving this shit, man. It's funny, man, because I was chopping it up with some people on Facebook. I ain't even gonna front, man. Like, when you're a Kobe diehard fan, it forced you to be somewhat of a LeBron hater. Mm. And, you know, I always love LeBron, you know, on and off the court. I think, especially off the court, I think he's just a dope dude, period. But as a Kobe fan, I was forced to hate. And I was forced to.
Yeah, it's
awkward. Hey, this is the post I put up, though. I said on Facebook, I was like, look, all you LeBron fans that hated the Lakers because of us Kobe fans, you guys are in a very awkward position. Because they instead of just hating Kobe, they'd be like, fuck the Lakers. You feel me? They'd be like, fuck the Lakers. LeBron is better than Kobe. So right. Now he a Laker. You know what I'm saying? So I never said fuck LeBron. I would just always argue that Kobe was a tad bit better technically and just, you know, all kind of like little intangibles, footwork and shit like that. But no, man, we definitely happy to have him. You feel me? The city is on fire. The traffic is about to suck. I'll tell you that.
That traffic now? Okay, yeah, it's already impossible to get. I don't even know how y'all do it out there and shit. Like, and I'm in the Northeast and traffic is a mess, but this LA shit is different. Now LeBron out there? It's crazy. God. What?
Man, it's about to be crazy, bro. And I wasn't even trying to fuck with no Laker games, man. I ain't went to a Laker game in years, but I'm gonna have to fuck with a couple this season, bro. So it's gonna be lit, man. We're not even tripping off you know how well they do. I just think it's just for entertainment purposes to watch LeBron James play in the purple and gold is just dope for us, man. So we looking forward to it for sure.
Man, if you on the East Coast, man, whoo. If you East Coast team, you gotta be like, okay, well, I guess everyone is over on the West now. Like, just all the stars.
Oh, yeah. Like, they got a clear lane, man. If the Celtics don't make it, that's crazy because they got a clear lane. It's like nobody in the Celtics' way. Like the Celtics for sure be in the Eastern the Eastern Finals team to represent the East in the Finals. Man, it shouldn't even be like no debate on that.
Right, right. Very, very easily, man. Shout out to Tatum. But now I just wanted to get that. I wanted to you know what I'm saying, get your perspective on that and shit like that. I'm Dot really supports you up here and shit like that. Everybody definitely does. We looking forward to the work and all that. You know what I'm saying? And I would just say stay positive, stay true to what you're doing. Obviously, what you're doing is working. You know what I'm saying? You don't got to operate how everybody else is. But, you know, we're going to hold you accountable up here. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Hey, and I know you will for sure.
Oh, that's a fact.
I done heard a couple times. So I've been like, man, this nigga Tony. I done heard a couple times, but you know what? You know, that's dope that you do that because we cool, but you still objective about my shit. And, and I appreciate that you're not just biased because we cool and just trying to tell me I did well. Like, nah, let me know. I feel that. I respect that, bro. Always.
That's a fact. It's when the apathy sets in when you would have to be like, well, damn, okay. Like, I guess the nigga don't fuck with me. But nah, we invested, man. I fuck with your work. And until that time, man, be safe. You know what I'm saying? Out here until initiation and go ahead and fuck Mike P up, man. Nigga might have a couple bets going, so, you know?
No doubt. It's going to be a good one, bro. I'll tell you that much, though. It's going to be dope.
No doubt. All right, you be good, bro. All
right, no doubt, family. All right, one.
All right, yo, that was B Dot. Shout out to everybody out there live that's listening to us and shit. You know what I mean? I think a couple things. I like B Dot's approach. I like the fact that he's able to, you know, he has a sort of a mapped out plan for each opponent and shit. The fact that he's taking Mike P and that means he has something to say. He's not going to just take a battle just to take it. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, you know, as a rapper, as a talent, he's actually gotten better. You know, I don't know how many people have seen that, but we got to see, man, because this man has nothing but close battles, bruh. Definitely, man. You know what I'm saying? So we got to see what he does. We got to see what the work is about and shit like that. As we head into the fourth and shit, I'm going to just give a little breakdown of the schedule. Some of the team is going to be away for like this next week or so. It's just a real busy week amongst the staff and shit like that. But we still going to hold it down. Got a bunch of drops. This last interview is going to come out and everything on the YouTube and shit like that. but we're going to continue as regularly scheduled and things like that. Now, I see what y'all saying, man. I know the team is busy, wives, families, kids, work, that type of shit. We coming up into the holiday. For all of y'all that are on the Patreon, bruh, that story, Posey's story time with Posey, you don't want to miss that shit. Like, this, the shit that he's about to work on is going to be crazy. You know what I'm saying? So you want to be a part of that. I will be doing my little live sessions and all that. My lives will actually live on the Patreon. So I'll go live from my channel and shit like that. And we'll upload them to the Patreon so that you have them. You know what I'm saying? But after that, though, you know what I mean? On top of that, I should say, we're going to still have content coming out on the channel. So hit that up and hit me up, too. You know what I'm saying? What you like, what you don't like. I take all criticism, critiques and things like that, things of that nature. Initiation card coming up. Order that card. That's on this Sunday. Drizzy will be there in the building for y'all niggas, man. So, man, like I always say, man, salute to battle rap. Salute to the culture, man. Go watch battles. You know what I mean? Keep engaged, man. And y'all be safe over the 4th of July. And I do want to say RIP to my father, born on the 4th of July. You know what I'm saying? If I don't talk to y'all again, y'all be safe out there, all right? We up out of here. Black Compass. Salute.
Black Compass Media Podcast in the field.